Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today, more on the news that urgent operations for children with scoliosis have been cancelled years after the government promised that the system would be fixed. The false widow spider population is on the increase here. We'll hear about fears that the invader could wipe out our native species. 6 months into the war in Ukraine, how does our welfare package for Ukrainian refugees compare with our European neighbours? Schools are back this week. We hear from school principals on their concerns as classes return, and COVID, monkeypox and rabies. An expert tells us why some diseases jump from the animal world to infect humans. To get in touch this morning, you can text us on 51551, email todaycb@rte.ie, or on Twitter, we are at Today with Clare. Now, a report in the Business Post claims the government is coming under severe pressure from business groups to take control of the unfolding energy crisis amid increased supply fears and spiralling prices for both businesses and consumers. Well, to get a flavour of what it's like on the ground, I'm joined on the line by Michael Coyne of Coyne's Gastropub in Connemara in Galway, Pat Crotty of Paris, Texas Bar in Kilkenny, and also Colette Bennett from the Economic, from Social Justice Ireland, and Colette is Economic and Social Analyst with Social Justice Ireland. But first to Pat Crotty in Kilkenny. Pat, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Claire.
When it comes to the increase in energy prices in your business, what are you seeing?
Frightening, Claire. We've had an 85% increase already this year on last year, which means that at the end of July, I had already spent more in 2022 than I spent in the entirety of 2021. And we're being told we're getting another increase, which will take it up to 230% of last year's cost. As we know now, there may be more and worse coming. But it's getting to the point where it's unsustainable, because the only place it can come from is the bottom line. It's a significant hit on the bottom line. And most small businesses, if and when they do make a profit, it's a small one. It's a single digit one. So big single digit changes in cost that can't be recovered are seriously damaging.
OK, so this is not just an inconvenience. It's not just a squeeze on the bottom line. It's making a material difference to your business.
Without a shadow of a doubt, it's completely out of kilter. Like 2% of my turnover would be normally what goes on energy. It's looking at 5 now, and it may be 6, and it may be more. We just don't know, but we're already at 5, and that's totally unsustainable. And you know, we don't have any friends at the bank. We don't have any friends anywhere, and we depend on government to provide us with an environment in which we can do business.
And I was saying that the Business Post reported yesterday that business groups, IBEC, written to the government calling for help for businesses. I'm sure you'd support that call, but what form does that help need to take? Is it an energy grant?
I really don't know. It isn't just that. Like, all our food costs have gone up, because everyone who supplies us with anything, their costs have gone up. Our insurance has gone up. Like, government tells us they're working on insurance, or to fix insurance. They haven't. And wages have gone up. Everything has gone up. So it isn't just the one thing. But energy is the biggest single one. And like, the government is already the biggest single winner from what can only be described as windfall profits from energy. Because if you asked Pascal Donoghue, when he was writing the budget last year, what was the amount of money he put down for income from tax on energy, and ask him what is the figure he actually has now, it's multiples of it. And that needs to come back into it. That's where he can help us. We just need the price of energy reduced to something that will not kill our businesses.
Okay, and that is money going to the state, which I suppose...
But they already have it. They have it, Claire. It's in their pocket.
Well, it could be argued to the benefit of everybody, because we saw that there was a €200 energy subsidy earlier in the year. There's talk about that happening again, which goes across the board to everyone. Yeah. Just also on government strategy, Minister Eamon Ryan was speaking last week about perhaps businesses and consumers, domestic consumers, reducing the amount of energy they use between 5 and 7. And this speaks to the potentially a higher tariff between those times.
Yeah.
How would that impact you?
Well, Claire, if I had a printer's works, or if I had an ironmongery or something, I can change my hours of work, because I can make what my customer needs at a time where the electricity is cheap. If I'm selling food, I have to make it and serve it at the time the customer wants it, and that's when they're on their way home from work or when they're going out. And this is an argument I always make. If the state wants everyone to be at work, they're not all going home to cook a dinner. They're getting their dinner somewhere on their way home. It's not a luxury. It's something. It's part of our way of life now, and it needs to be treated as part of life and not a luxury. And that we can't decide to have dinners on the table for them at 4 o'clock or at 9 o'clock. They don't want them then. They want them at 5 or 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock.
So your sector would need a derogation if there were to be a higher tariff imposed.
Absolutely. There's no question or doubt about that, yeah.
Michael Coyne also with us from Connemara in County Galway, Coyne's Gastropub there. Michael, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Are you concerned when you hear about potentially a higher tariff when it comes to energy usage between 5 and 7?
Oh, I think everyone in the business is concerned about this, but the... So if you look at the higher tariff, like they're the main hours of business, say, you know, like Pat was saying, between 5 and 7 p.m. But if we're going to look at energy and energy costs and so on, I think really the government has to take this, you know, full on, whether it be looking at, I suppose, a CRSS scheme like we had during COVID. But really, I'd be looking for either a cap or some sort of form of price control, because I think that's going to have to happen, because who knows when this is going to end, you know. And what's going to happen here is that, I suppose, business like mine are seasonal in nature. So we're facing into a winter now, say, where, you know, we've reduced footfall and so on, reduced hours and so on and so forth. And I don't want to be, I suppose, whinging on the radio, but then, like, a lot of business is planned for next year. But where you finish a season, like we have now, and then you're planning, then is the money that you have, then the issue earmarked. Say, for example, in my area, we don't have a lot of beds at the moment. So I was thinking about, say, looking at glamping and items like that. But if there's no money for that in the future, say, because it's all gone out on bills, you know, what's the point? And you can see that a lot of businesses will have a look at the viability of their businesses during the winter months and will they choose to stay with it, you know, because people aren't going to work just to pay bills. So, you know, something has to be done.
So you, having thought about it, you think that maybe a subvention isn't the answer, but price caps might be?
I think a price cap or some sort of price control. Now, of course, our friends in the EU will probably say that can't happen. You have to have a free market economy. I get that. But I think in a time of crisis like this, something has to be brought in. It has to be tackled head on before businesses start to close. And it will close businesses. That's the hard fact. I hate to say it like that, but people aren't going to work for nothing. You know, we all have to eat. That's the way it is.
Are you considering your own future?
Well, we're here for a very long time, but I know that every year it's a struggle, and it's becoming even more so with the increase, like Pat said there, about the overhead and so on, that, like, myself and my wife are here, like, we start at 8 in the morning, sometimes not getting home till midnight, and, you know, we see people involved in hospitality, a lot of them are doing it because they love the job, they love the whole buzz and people coming in, but you have to pay bills too, so at the end of the day, when there's nothing at the end of it, you know, you have to question what exactly are you doing. But I suppose really getting back to it, that's where the government needs to step in. Like, the way I see it, that these price increases are getting out of control and they're just not, people won't be able to shoulder them. And we have a great product, hospitality product, but it's hitting our customers as well. And we went back to the time, say, in the 1970s, where going out for a meal or even going for a pint is a luxury. You have to understand that, say, during COVID, a lot of people were used to staying at home and, you know, socialising at home. Is that the future for the hospitality industry, that is going to be a luxury item? I don't know.
Yeah, so you're looking ahead and seeing that the people who come to you for a meal or a pint won't have the money to do that.
Of course not, because this is going to hit everyone from the bottom right to the very top. You know, these increases are huge. You know, even my own, I had to go into a contract there and I'm paying 50 cents a unit, which is huge, especially, like, say, if you look for a business like mine, there's heating, there's electricity, like all the other products that went up, not just, you know, dairy. Every week I'm getting an email telling me about a price increase. Oil, for example, rapeseed oil has doubled in price. So all these increases, and then do you pass it on to the consumer, to or your customer, or do you choose to absorb it? There's always so much absorption you can do. But now with the overheads there, it's going to really, really test businesses like mine in the future.
Yeah, and when you say 50 cent a unit, is that about double what it was, say, a year ago?
It would have been 15 cent.
Okay, it's a huge... You see, you can't, as you say, you can only absorb so much of that.
That's it, yeah. Like, I remember, I think Frances Brennan was on the show. She was talking to you about the increase, you know, with the car hire firms at the start of the season.
Yes.
That had a huge impact on me, especially June. And then, of course, then it left a bad taste in people's mouths that they won't come back. So I'm looking at that, like I'm planning for 2023 and say, what's my market and who's going to come here and so on and so forth. But if you look at, say, the way the increases are, I suppose the vibe, like, you know, when you talk about, Franz Brennan was mentioned there about steak, like it affects the menu, all these, like, it'll all be tweaked and, of course, have a huge impact then across the board. So what kind of product are we going to have?
Yeah. Okay, Colette Bennett, economic and social analyst with Social Justice Ireland. Colette, on the consumer side of this, I mean, we hear the business side, and Michael clearly is worried that people won't be able to afford to go out when we're looking into next year. What are you hearing from people?
Well, it's a very similar story, and, you know, particularly for those who are on fixed income, so those who are on reliant on social welfare, they basically have far lower purchasing power than they would have had previously. And this is impacting their basic essential utilities. So again, when we talk about, you know, that the priorities that people have, it's the roof over their head, their light and their heat and their food and anything for their children. And when we see the increases that we have across the board on utilities, this is having a severe impact on those who are on lower incomes. We know, for example, with the SILC data, the survey on income and living conditions from 2021, that 7% of the population were in arrears on a utility bill. That's 350,000 people. And that was before we saw increases to this extent that started to come in from October of last year. Yes. This is going to have a desperate impact on people who are on very low incomes. And something does need to be done along the lines of tariffs, along the lines of fixed tariff rates, particularly for those who are on low incomes, along the lines of things like expanding the definition of a vulnerable consumer for the vulnerable consumer register, to make sure that it includes people who are vulnerable because they have a very low income and they really can't absorb any more of these increases.
And it's inevitable that there will be more people in arrears as the prices continue to go up. What's the process when that happens, Colette? How long does a household have before they're cut off?
Well, that will really depend on the provider. But again, you know, you would encourage people to keep in touch with their providers to try and make some payment if they can afford it at all. But to keep in touch with them and make sure that they know what is going on and what is happening with their finances. Certainly for those who may currently come under the vulnerable consumer register definition, that they, again, this is not an automatic thing. They have to register. They have to ask to be part of it. So they should contact their supplier and do that. So that is anyone who is vulnerable because they are reliant on utilities for a life savings, so for example, a nebulizer or some sort of a medical device, but also those who may be vulnerable due to age or due to disability. Now, we would be looking for an expansion of that, again, as I said, for people who are on particularly on fixed incomes, who are financially vulnerable and who just cannot absorb any more of these increases.
When we hear about these potential peak time tariffs between 5 and 7pm, how might that impact on the families you've just described?
That's going to have a huge impact. I mean, if you think about it, and we're looking at the business end of back to school now. So this is coming at a time when you've got children coming in the evening looking for dinner. You've got children coming in trying to do their homework. We're increasingly reliant on the digital age now. So we're, you know, we have more laptops in the home. And that is your busiest period. That's going to put a huge strain on households to have an increased tariff during that time. So there really needs to be additional support at the household level, but also at the small and medium enterprise level, to make sure that, you know, this is not going to hit those who can least absorb it the most. We've already seen that cost of living increases are having a disproportionate impact on those who are on lowest incomes, and those people need to be protected.
All right, Colette Bennett from Social Justice Ireland, thank you. And thanks too to Pat Crotty in Kilkenny and Michael Coyne in Connemara. Listening to all of that is Pat Leahy, political editor with the Irish Times. Good morning, Pat.
Morning, Claire.
People are very worried right across the board. People who are domestic consumers, business owners, as we heard there, about energy security this winter and about price hikes. What's the latest today on how the government is expected to respond to all of those concerns in the budget?
Yeah, as I understand it, the three coalition leaders, the leaders of the three parties, are likely to discuss this today, and cabinet meets on Wednesday for its first meeting since the autumn break. So I think this is pretty high up the agenda of everybody in government. There, there's two issues, I suppose, to which you have alluded. There is the threat of blackouts, which is real, but is not something that people in government think at this point is likely. So there's a lot of contingency planning going on to manage that should it occur, and there's papers and so forth being drawn up in the Department of the Environment, some of which we were reporting, my colleague Jack Horgan-Jones was reporting on last week. But while energy blackouts are, I think, possible but not probable, what people in government say, and I think this is where most of the focus of concern is that increases, further steep increases in the price of energy, that's not probable, it's certain. And, you know, we saw some of that last week with the SSE electricity price rise, and ministers have been told ministers have been told to prepare for more in the coming weeks and months.
So the real pressing issue is, how is that dealt with by government?
Yeah, so I think what we will see in the budget is 4 weeks away and is coming early, as we know, or earlier this year than would previously have been the case. So I think you can kind of divide the budget day package, which I think will be very large, but we can divide it into two. One is the, you know, decisions to increase spending, which will recur every year. So there'll be increases in social welfare, education, health spending, and so forth. But there will also be a very large package of one-off measures, or what people in government are calling one-off measures. And I think it's in that area that you will see a lot of the efforts to deal with the cost of living crisis. So I would expect a series of payments, maybe an extension of the electricity credit, and those sort of measures, some of which we've seen already this year, but they will happen almost immediately. I think they will come out of this year's budget. They won't be recurring payments, or at least they're not intended to be recurring payments. And I think that they will make up a lot of the splash, if you like, on budget day.
Mm-hmm. Then there's a whole other question around what to do for businesses, as we just heard there from the restaurant sector. You know, their very viability is at issue. And I have a man here texting called Gordon, who has a frozen food distribution company. Their new rate of electricity is going from 11.5 cent per unit to 42 cent per unit night rate, and from 27 to 55 cent day rate. And he wants to know, how can we turn off our freezers? Up until now, the night rate was our saviour, but going forward with these new rates, we don't know how we will survive. And we heard at the weekend that IBEC is calling for a specific package for business. Will that happen?
I think it will. And talking to people in and around government the end of last week, and indeed over the weekend, this was a message that was coming up across pretty strongly, that there will be a package for business, because just as households are being squeezed by rising energy prices, as you laid out there, that squeeze is hitting businesses, which simply can't do without their energy supply. So I'm guided pretty strongly that there will be a package for business on budget day.
Pat, I want to run through a couple of other things that you're reporting today. The return of tax relief for renters, you say that's under consideration. That would be a recurring cost for government. Would that be at the cost of other tax cuts?
Yes, it would. Yes. So people, or some people may recall that there used to be a tax credit available for renting. In other words, that if you were paying rent to a private landlord, you got a tax credit for that. You were able to claim some tax back. That ended during the period of austerity in 2010, but there are now discussions underway, I'm given to understand, about including something like this in the budget day package. But because the budget numbers are fixed, and, you know, a lot of these discussions are only kicking off in government, and they will take up a lot of time in government over the next 4 weeks in advance of budget day. These decisions haven't been made yet. So there's a whole heap of options that are currently swirling around. I'm told this is one of them. But just like, spending measures, there is a finite pot of money on budget day that Minister for Finance Pascal Donoghue, Minister for Public Expenditure Michael McGrath, are insisting to their colleagues that those budget day numbers are maintained, so that the budget day with recurring expenditure isn't going to be any more than the 5.7 billion that has already been identified.
You're also writing today that government's making this revised public sector pay offer to unions. Now, in June, we know the offer of 5% over 2 years was rejected. So is it that they've added an extra 1% to their offer?
Yeah, this is what I'm told, not more than 1%. And that's likely to be tabled today at the talks which are getting underway at the Labour Relations Commission. Government side saying, you know, an additional 1% would make that 6% between now and the end of 2023. There's also 1% due on the existing public sector pay deal in October. That would bring it up to 7% over the next 15 months or so. Government people saying, and maybe they would say this, but this is very much the limit to what the government can go, and if the unions can't take this to their members and get it accepted by the members, then we may be looking at an autumn of public sector strikes.
And just to finish, are we expecting an announcement on Robert Troy's replacement this week?
Yeah, I'm told very likely, though not certain, no decisions made, but it's likely to be approved by the Cabinet on at its meeting that I referred to on Wednesday morning in Dublin Castle. The name on everybody's lips in Fianna Fáil is Dara Cillieri. James Lawless Kildare, TD, also in the running, I'm told. But the path of least resistance I'm guided towards is that of Dara Cillieri. But I guess we'll have to wait and see.
We certainly will. We'll find out on Wednesday, most likely. Pat Leahy from the Irish Times, thank you very much for joining us. Coming up, years after the government promised that the system would be fixed, we hear over the weekend that those urgent operations for children with scoliosis have been cancelled. More on that after this.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.